This may not be what you think it is. You might think you know what this is, but that might not be what this is. This is life, power, hope for tomorrow, change for today. This changes everything. It could be closer than you think. It might be right in front of you. Look closely. You don't want to miss this.
All right, welcome to part four of our series, This Is That. Let me look into the camera right now and just acknowledge those that join us every week online. And if this is your first time joining us, we're so glad that you're here from out of the state, out of the country, around the world. Come on, let's welcome all those that are joining us online right now. Glad to have you along for the ride. Also want to just highlight one thing that you just heard about regarding our a small group fair that is launching. We're kicking off our small groups next Sunday. We put a lot of emphasis around small groups around here. Actually, we're not just a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups because we think that it's that important that real life change happens in the context of relationships. If you need healing in your life in some level, some area, you need to be in a small group because that's a system that God put in place for us to be healed and to grow. Amen. Iron sharpens iron. God forgives, people heals. So wait a minute, God heals. Yes, he does. And we talked about that last week. And he ultimately heals, but the system that God chooses to use many times is that he works through people. And we pray, the Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. So small groups are huge in so many facets, so many ways. If you and I could go all into that, just one aspect, the healing aspect, but many ways that small groups helps us. And so I want to encourage you next week to be sure and be here. Pastor Steve Guptill heads this ministry up, a phenomenal ministry here at Cross Point. And if you are looking through our guide, our online directory of small groups, and you don't see a group that you would like to be a part of, hey, start one. We'll show you how. You can do that today right after service and leadership training with Pastor Steve. Take you about 1 hour. We'll feed you, take care of you, and show you how you can actually become a leader of a small group. It's not as hard as you think. It'll change your life. So I want to encourage you with that. Be a part of that. It's going to be awesome. We do actually 6-week semester in the summer. Fall and spring, we do a 13-week semester. And then we end this one this year, this summer, with a serve opportunity for all our small groups to participate in. It's going to be a great time. Aren't you excited about small groups, everybody? And so just be sure and check with Pastor Steve Guptill. If you don't know who that is, that's the guy that plays the Ming guitar up here. So also, let me just pause right here and say a happy Memorial Day to all. I know that happens on the calendar tomorrow, and I just want to make sure that I pay special attention to those who have paid the ultimate price, that have given their lives for our freedom. Freedom is not free. It costs something. And so I just want to thank those that have laid down their lives and the families of those that have laid down their lives that have also sacrificed as well. I know there's many that we have that serve currently. But today we especially acknowledge those that have given their life, and there are many that are willing to give their life today. But I'm thankful for those that have actually given their life, paid the price for us, so we could live in this wonderful free country. Amen? Amen. So I just want to, come on, let's give it up for those that have served and those that have paid for our freedom. So I'm very, very thankful. We are a blessed people. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And we do know that freedom is not free. Jesus even paid for our freedom. We come to him and we say it's free. It's a free gift. But it wasn't completely free because Jesus himself laid down his life so that we could be set free. I love that beautiful chorus that we sing sometimes. There's no one like Jesus. No one like Jesus who would die for me just to set my spirit free. There's no one like Jesus. Amen. Don't you love Jesus? Come on, let's just give him a love praise this morning. Amen. Lord, we just love you. We bless your name. Amen. Well, let me jump right into this last installment of our series, This Is That. And this series, let me just kind of give you the why of this series if you've missed any of this. And that is that there are sometimes some things that in Scripture or in our Christian faith that perhaps as individuals we may not completely understand. And what we realize is that when we don't understand something, a lot of times we will distance ourselves from it, or we'll go a step further. We'll even maybe make fun of something that we don't understand because that's kind of weird, strange, and different. And so we're looking at some four hot topics that I would call it, some four areas that that we might have misunderstood and not had a full grasp on. This actually happened when the church was first launched, when the church was first established and birthed in the second chapter of Acts. The church was birthed in a very demonstrative and powerful way, so much so that the people observing it didn't really understand it, and they said, wait a minute, this is kind of strange, this is kind of odd. And so Acts chapter 2, and you could pull up your message notes there if you'd like. They're there in your worship guide. You can follow along. We're going to have some fill-in-the-blanks for you today. I'll have it up here on the screen for you as well. But let me just show you this scripture that we're using as our theme verse for this this series. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 2 says that this is their response to, again, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birthing of the church. This was their reaction. They were amazed and they were perplexed. And oftentimes, again, when we don't understand something, we're amazed and we're perplexed. And they asked one another, what does this mean? So they didn't understand. And then they said, some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. So they poked fun at them. And then, so Peter stood up and explained some things like I'm trying to do today. He stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd and said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. So he's going to explain it. So that's what I'm trying to do. And he says, listen carefully to what I say. And then he said, these people are not drunk as you suppose. Hey guys, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, right? And then he says, no, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So you've read back in the prophets and you saw where Joel prophesied that this was going to come, and this is what you've been praying for. This is what you want and desire. But when it gets here, you say, oh, you didn't recognize it and said, well, this is something else, when actually this is that. This is not what you think it is. They're not drunk. They're not crazy. This is actually this. This is that the prophet Joel prophesied of. So that's kind of where we're taking those words, this is that. And so we're looking at different topics. We actually discussed in week one the person of the Holy Spirit and tried to sort of just address some myths and misunderstandings surrounding the Holy Spirit. If you missed this installment or if you missed any of these, I encourage you, you can go online. All those messages are archived online. You can go in there on our website and listen to those. Again, you can also download the message notes and follow along those. Week two, we talked about praise and worship, and we discovered that, you know, sometimes praise and worship looks, that Saturday at football game probably looks more like what Sunday should look like on Sundays. I mean, if you really look at Scripture and you look at the book of Psalms and you see what praise and worship looked like, I mean, it was an all-in event, man, when they were just praising God with everything they had. We talked about that and why we praise and worship the way we do. Last week, we talked about the area of healing, and there's a lot of issues surrounding that at times. Does God still heal today? And if God heals, then why doesn't he heal everyone? If you missed that, again, go online and check that out, and I believe that'll help you. I did the best I could to try to explain that area of healing. Today, I want to talk about another area. And that's the area of prosperity. And so even when you say that, you can just feel the nerves already. You know, come to church, what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about money right off the bat. Well, for those of you that may be new here today or haven't been around here long, you need to understand that I don't talk about money every service. But I believe that it is a very important issue. In fact, this week I was doing some premarital counseling with a couple. It's going to be married next month, and we were talking about this area of finances. And I said, this area actually is the number one cause of divorce. The Bible has much to say about this area of finances. So it would not be very good of me as a pastor to skip over this topic. In fact, the fact that it has oftentimes been so abused and so bad and poorly misrepresented, I think it's extremely important that we do cover it and we kind of unmask this area of what this thing is all about. And I know we've all experienced those crazy times where you got people going crazy and they go to the extreme on this topic. You got the name it, claim it group. And we talked about that in the area of healing, and sometimes it's that's also applicable to this area of prosperity. You know, just name it, claim it, it's mine. You know, that Rolls Royce, that Rolex watch, it's mine in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, that's not what this thing is all about. There's this hyper-prosperity teaching. I actually heard of one of those churches that says, you know, if you'll give us $1,000, then we're going to give you this and that and the other. Somebody said, one church tried to promote giving, and they said, if you'll give $1,000, you can pick out 3 hymns. And so this elderly lady, she gave her, came up front, waved her $1,000, and she said, okay, here's my $1,000. I'll take him and him and him. So anyway, just a little laughter, loosen you up a little bit, all right? Just a little humor, all right? But let's look at that word prosperity. Everybody take a deep breath now. We're gonna break this down. In the Hebrew, that word prosperity is the word salaosh. You practice it, you get up here, and you still blow it, okay? So it's salaosh. Oh, you got to say it like, oh, salaosh. Okay, I'm not Hebrew. Y'all know that. Anyway, what it simply means is this. It's an interesting word because it has nothing to do really with money. In fact, real prosperity is not about physical well-being. It has more to do with your soul. And that word literally means to push forward, to push forward. And so you're going to, listen, you and I are going to accomplish a lot on our own, but sometimes God's going to give you a little push. And he'll put you in places you would not have been there on your own. Have you ever experienced this? Where you're experiencing something and you know it wasn't of your own credit, it wasn't of your own abilities, it wasn't by your own talent, you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, but yet here you are and God has pushed you into this place. Like Paul, he said, I'm the least of the least. You know, I don't qualify, but yet here I am. He'll push you forward and be God in your life. He'll push you forward, let me just put it this way, if you let him. He'll push your marriage forward where it'll be what God's called it to be. He'll push you in the area of parenting and with your kids that they can be more than you than they could be on their own. Amen? I mean, even my kids, I've seen them excel. I've seen how God's blessed them. God's put them in an environment where they can grow and they can be blessed and they can, you know, have accolades applied to them. But I know and I recognize it's God. It's God. We always recognize that it's God. We actually went to an awards ceremony this week for my youngest son, Tanner. And I wasn't prepared. If I'd have known, I would have had my video rolling when they were talking about all the accolades. And, I mean, he got the history award, y'all. He got the history award. He got the biology award. He got the Spanish award. He got awards. I mean, and in fact, one of the teachers came up to him. He got some distinguished. I go on the list, but I'm a dad. But one of the teachers came and said, "Hey, buddy, you want a U-Haul so you can take all them awards home?" You know, and I was just blown away. But I also recognize he's worked hard, and I acknowledge his accomplishments. But ultimately, we know he got his talent and his ability from the Lord Almighty. Amen. God will push you into places, and we know that he does that for us. So he prospers. That's in the area of prospering us, right? And God, listen to this, God is not shy when it comes to his word, to this in his word. Look at Genesis chapter 26. That's actually not in your notes, but it's a little extra. You can write that down. Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 and 13. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Now look at this, meaning that that's uncommon, 100-fold. Something different happened there. But look at this. Why did that happen? And the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. Then look what it goes on to say. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became prosperous. That's just awesome. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10 says, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Let me put it to you this way. When the right people have the right things, other people can benefit from it, right? Proverbs 11 and 25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, I want you to see there's a connection there. The generous person will prosper. Why? I mean, if that's the attitude, if you're being generous, God says, hey, if you're going to be generous, you're going to have a generous attitude, I'm going to give you more because I know that you're going to bless others. So in other words, God doesn't bless you just to make you prosperous, to bless you so you're hoarded up and that's it. And that's the end of it end of story. He blesses us so that we will be a blessing, a blessing. Third John says this, chapter 1 and verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So what I'm trying to show us here today, it's not just about money. There's more to it than that. It's about your marriage prospering. It's about your prospering emotionally. He wants you to go to work with more joy than anyone else, right? So that you can bring joy to everybody else. I want to give you then, if we understand this idea of prosperity and these scriptures that talk about prosperity, let me give you what I believe is a biblical definition of prosperity, and that is this. Biblical prosperity is having more than you need so that you can make an eternal difference in the lives of others. So that you are not just possessing what you consume, not just what you need to have, but I have more than I need so that I can make a difference in the life of someone else. So there's a core value here at our church that you need to understand, and that is we believe that life on this earth is very, very short. And it's our time in history to make a difference in the generation in which God has put us in. Each one of us, each generation has an opportunity to make a difference in that generation. And God gives us an opportunity to make a difference. And so when we understand that, we understand that, look, our whole life is about finding Jesus. But once we have found Jesus, our whole life then becomes about leading others to Him. Our whole life becomes about the four things that we do here as a church. We want to know God. We want to find freedom, settle our yesterday so that we can have a future. Amen. And then we want to discover our purpose, what God has called us to do, and then get about making a difference in the lives of other people. So I want to teach you some things regarding this blessing. And number one is this, that God blesses us to be a blessing. Write that down. God blesses us to be a blessing. That's the purpose of blessing, that the blessing of Abraham might be on us. What is the blessing of Abraham? Well, look at this. When God blessed Abraham, he said this in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. He says, "I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others." So I'm blessing you for a purpose. I'm blessing you not just so you can have more and say, "Hey, look at me, I got stuff." No, he's blessing us so that we will be a blessing, so that we'll be a blessing. And with that comes a responsibility. So God's saying, okay, I'm going to bless you and you're going to represent me. You're going to be my hands and my feet. So he blesses us so that we can be his hands and his feet. How can we be his hands and his feet? So let me put it this way. And you cannot give what you don't have. You know, there's something called being a liability or an asset. When you are blessed, you have something to give, and you can then be a blessing to somebody else. Does that make sense? You can't give what you don't have. Why do we need anything? I don't need anything. I'm just going to live in poverty. No, God wants to bless you, not so that you could just be rich, but so that you can be generous and so that you can be a blessing to other people. So God blesses us to be a blessing. I believe this is what we need to pray. I need more than I need so I can be a blessing. I need more than I need so I can be a blessing. Write that down. That's extra there, but that's good. I need more than I need so that I can be a blessing. And can I just speak that not only over us individually, but as a church? We need more so that we can do more for the kingdom of God. We want to have more, not so we can just be some big institution and look pretty. No, so that we can impact the community where God has placed us. So we can impact a campus where there is almost 100 countries represented right across the street from us. And we don't have to go around the world to reach the world. So that we can impact the community that met here last week in a picnic, you know, and where we can build relationship with people. So that we can do more for the kingdom of God. We want to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Write this down also that we learn from prosperity, and that is that when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. Here's the truth. I'd rather have God taking care of me than me taking care of me. People say, well, I just want to be financially independent, or I want to be financially secure. Actually, no, you don't. You say, wait a minute, hold on, what are you trying to say there? You don't ever want to put yourself in a place where you're independently secure and don't need God. Okay? There's a difference. God blesses me so that I can be a funnel and it flows to others, but God, I'm going to trust you to take care of me. So I don't have to just, how much is enough stuff to build up before we've got enough and where we're secured? Our security will never be in the securities of this world. I've seen the news where people commit suicide after the stock market falls. It's not in the abundance of things. That's not where our security lies. Our security lies in the Lord. But God blesses us so that we can then pour out to others. And then as we do that, we trust in the Lord that he is going to take care of us. And can I tell you, when we have the attitude, God bless me and I'll be a funnel, I'll let it flow to others, I'll trust you to take care of me. When we have that kind of an attitude, there's nothing God won't do for a person like that who has that kind of an attitude. Luke chapter 18, verse 29 even says this. I guarantee this. This is that anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more, look at this, in this life, and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. So he's going to take care of us here, and he's going to take care of us there too. Isn't that good news? Amen. And you say, well, I just don't have a lot to give, Pastor. This is the wrong message for me. Jesus, in that context, said, if you just give a cup of water in my name, come on, God's going to bless you. So we're a funnel. We're not a bank to store it up, but we're a funnel that God blesses us, and we have an overflow where we can bless other people. God's going to take care of us in the process. I'm going to give you this little extra note, and that is that I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. I would rather trust in the one who provides. Not just the provision, I trust in the provider. That's huge. That's the difference. So why put your hope in the provision when you can have hope in the provider? And then look at this. Another thing that we learn about prosperity is the more God blesses us, the more he expects us to bless others. Not everybody is blessed the same, though. But can I tell you that we are extremely blessed? Here we are celebrating Memorial Day, and we're celebrating the fact that there are many and honoring those that have went on and paid the price for us. We do live in a great country. If you don't believe it, just check out a few others around the world. Can I get an American amen right there? I'm just saying. I mean, we are blessed to live in this country. We're blessed to live in the beautiful state of North Carolina. We're blessed to live in a thriving city like Charlotte, North Carolina, where the economy is booming. Come on. And we got a light rail now. Get uptown. That's cool. That's good stuff. We're blessed to be a part. If I could say, we're blessed to be at Cross Point Worship Center and sit in an air-conditioned building. Amen? I mean, one of the best churches in the area, right? I just say that. I have to. I'm your pastor. I mean, we're blessed to be able to come to church and get a bottle of water. You know, we're drinking some water. And you know, we got, everywhere we look, we got everything we need. Instead of having to, you know, carry it on our head, you know, from village to village trying to get to where we need to be able to get a water supply for us. Come on, we're living in a blessed time. We are so, so blessed. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 in the Living Bible phrases it this way. It says, much is required of those to whom much is given, for their responsibility is greater. You say, but you don't understand. I just don't have much. Listen to this. If you, I know you think, I don't feel rich. I don't feel like I'm prosperous. Listen to this. If you earn as a household, that's a combined household income between 44 and 45,000, you are in the top 1% wage earners in the world. Did you know that? We are a blessed people. But I'm not trying to say that to make us feel guilty. God doesn't want us guilty. Listen to this. He wants us responsible. Make a note of that. God doesn't want us guilty. He wants us responsible. So since I'm blessed, Lord, what would you have me to do should be our question. As we are blessed as a church, our Cross Point Church, we're blessed. So then how can we be a blessing to others? How can we even be a blessing to other churches in our area? So again, we are blessed. We've been pushed forward by God. We've been blessed by God. And is there a cause, though, that blessing? We know we're not all blessed the same. Is there a cause? Well, I want you to look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of waters, of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And look at this, whatever they do prospers. So there is this thing where there is seemingly that if you do this, then I'll do this. Now, God's love is unconditional, and you can't earn his salvation. But we know throughout Scripture there's many ifs and thens. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So there's a if and there's a then, and it's all throughout Scripture. So every promise, I'm going to put it this way, every promise has a premise. Every promise, write that down if you got that. That's a little extra there. Every promise has a premise. So it's not to say it's like, I don't want you to look at it as a condition. Let's look at it as a motivation. I am blessed. And so let's go through some things very quickly of what that means for us. And that is, write this down. I am blessed as I put God first. Now, here's the fact. God is a jealous God. He wants to be first in our life. He must be first in our life because he's one that puts everything in order when we put him at the top. Right? He is a jealous God. He doesn't mind you having other loves. Just don't have them above him. I mean, you could love golf. You can love your sports team. You know, love your wife. Love your husband. Love, you know, but God wants to be first, but God doesn't compete. He completes. Amen? Amen. When you put God at the top, everything falls in its right order. And so we need to reflect that God is first. And I'm not just talking about in the area of finances. I'm talking about in every area of our life. I'm in the middle, again, of doing some marriage counseling. They may be watching today. Guys, if y'all watching, shout out to you there. But I'm just enjoying myself as in every topic, in every area regarding marriage, regarding life, regarding finances, regarding parenting, regarding all those issues, everything I keep emphasizing is God first, God first, God first, God first, God first. And that's, listen, God will bless you when you do that. When you put him first, there's a blessing of God. It's as simple as what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. I like to word it this way, it's going to chase you down. It's going to follow. It's going to happen in your life. Put him first. Always keep him first. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 puts it this way, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, of every area of your life, right? Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will be brim over with new wine. Put him first in your life. So we honor him. And in the area of finances, we give him the first 10%. It belongs to him. The Bible actually doesn't say give it. It only says bring it. You can't give what is not yours. It's not yours. You can only bring what's his. You give that to the Lord. You honor him. You put him first. But that's in every area of your life. And can I tell you, when you don't put him first, it will never, ever work. And you'll never really enjoy the prosperity God's talking about. You may build up some money. You may build up some things and some stuff. But the prosperity I'm talking about, the prosperity of the soul, come on, where God pushes you in the area of blessing that's beyond wealth, beyond the materialism, the things of this world. You'll never experience that until you put him first. I'm preaching really good, y'all. I'm preaching about 90% better than y'all. Amen. And I'm just telling you right now. Listen, this is good stuff. I'm excited because I know it works. This is nothing I want for me. This is what I want for you. In fact, when God gives us his commands, none of them are for us or for him. They're all for you. Your life's going to be better. I've seen it. I've seen people's lives change as they follow this principle. So put God first. Number two, I am blessed as I maintain my integrity. So God has resources. He owns it all. But he's looking to give it to those who can handle it well. Psalm 84 and 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold." Look at this. From who? From those whose walk is blameless. God wants to know he can trust you with that. And you say, well, blameless? Well, thank God, because of the cross, guess what? We're all blameless. But we don't just stay in the area of grace. It doesn't matter. We're all under the grace of the Lord, and so it doesn't matter. No, God's called us to do some things, to step out and to live our life with integrity, to represent him on this earth, to maintain integrity. God will bless those who walk blameless in that fashion. Number three, I am blessed as I give intentionally. So that means I'm going to be thoughtful and mindful about it. So I don't know about you. I'm not so crazy about just emotionalism. So we're going to give because somebody showed you a slick video with a starving child and made you cry. And, oh, yeah, I'm coming off my wallet. I mean, it's okay to be moved with compassion about a need. It's okay once in a while to get, but that'll, as a regular ongoing practice, I think that's not the way we should give, just impulsively. I believe that we should have a giving strategy and be intentional about giving unto the Lord, right, in our life. So give intentionally. I'll give you a verse for this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply the increase." So he's giving us something there. And then he says that he's also going to give increase. And I know we're sometimes, well, I don't know about the increase. That's going to get off on that extremism stuff. No, but actually, God is a God of increase. He wants you to increase in every area of your life. He wants you to grow. He wants you to become more like Christ. "And increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of," look at that, "your righteousness." Now look at verse 11. "You will be made rich in every way." Why? "So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity is going to result in people coming to Christ. You're going to be making a difference in people's lives forever. They're going to give thanks to God." Amen? And that's why we give. So if you're not careful, earth will demand your stuff. Earth will steal your attention, and then it'll steal your stuff. So here's I'm going to give you this extra note. The greatest deterrent to radical generosity is the illusion that earth is our home. We got to understand we're giving and leveraging everything for the kingdom of God because our time is limited on this earth. We only got so long. And the older I get, the more I realize it. Life is short. Man, it's just a vapor. It's a flower in the wind. It's just grass that fades. It's withers and flower fades. It's just short. So we give intentionally. So I am blessed. Number four, as I give generously. And can I just tell you, generous does not always have to do with the amount. It does not have to do with more. I believe it has to do with willingness. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use," look at this now, "for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So there is a connection. Notice there's a connection between in this area of what you give and what you receive. So we give generously, not stingily, not begrudgingly. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to borrow an illustration right here that I heard Karen when she spoke on this topic once. A man that was in a in the stands watching a ball game with his son, and he got there and his son said, "Dad, I need $5 for the concession stand." And so he gives him $5. He comes back with some peanuts, and the dad says, "Hey, give me some peanuts." I mean, what he didn't know is those are my peanuts because I bought them, you know, and you're my son, so, you know, give me some peanuts. He said he took one of those peanuts and just kind of broke it in half, you know, those kind of, you know, roasted peanuts, broke it in half and gave him half of them. He's thinking, are you kidding me? Give me that whole bag, you know. It's like, you going to be that way with me? He said what he didn't know was I had a whole bunch more money in my pocket. You know, I could have went to the concession. I could have bought him out of peanuts. I could have rained peanuts down on his head. But he's being stingy, right? So when we give generously, we need to understand that God is a generous God, and He owns it all anyway, right? So give generously. Let me give you this final point. I am blessed as I stay dependent on God. And let me give you the scripture for that. I'm blessed as I stay dependent on God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God." Now look at this. "Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." What I want you to see in the scripture is this. Notice the connection between putting your hope in God and Him richly providing. See, there's a connection there. You can go out and you can do everything you can to make it, and you can beat your head against the wall, and you can battle through Charlotte traffic, and you can come home and you can pay the bills, and you can, you know, kick the cat and whatever, you know, throw the dog out, whatever, you can get up the next morning and you can do it all over again, and you can go through this rigorous motion, and you can try to climb the ladder, and you'll find out when you get up to the top of the ladder, you figure out, oh no, it's leaning against the wrong wall, and you're frustrated. And some of the most frustrated people are people who've got a lot of stuff. It's not in that. It's putting your hope in God and not depending on anything except God. You're thankful, you're blessed so that you can be a blessing, but your trust is in the Lord. Amen? Your trust is in the Lord. I believe God doesn't want us to be at a place where we're independent. I believe God wants us to be in a place where we say, "Jesus, I need you. I'm desperate for you every day. I need you more and more of you. I need you, and I cannot live without you." And I can't make it without you. And I can't prosper. I can't be pushed ahead. I can't be a blessing without your hand on my life. I believe every day we need to pray the prayer of Jabez. Everybody know what that is? God, just give me more than I need so that I can be a blessing. God, give Crosspoint greater influence. God, give us more so we can make a difference. And God, if you'll bless us, Lord, we don't want any credit. We don't want to be famous. We don't want to be on the front cover of anything. God, we want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We just want to lift you up, God. And if we can have that kind of attitude, I believe God will bless us. I believe God will bless us. Folks, it's, you know, we talked about healing last week, and I didn't use this illustration, but it comes to my mind. Didn't plan on saying this, but, you know, there was a man that was healed of blindness, and they kept coming to him trying to get him to explain it. And finally, I don't know about this man. All I know is I was once blind, but now I see. In other words, you came too late to tell me that he doesn't heal. He just did. Can I tell you the same is true in this area of giving? You came too late to tell me that this doesn't work. In fact, I've tried it. I put it to the test. God said, "Try me." In this area of giving, in this particular verse, it's in the context of giving of our finances, but I want to tell you, it's in every area of our life. You give to Him first in every area of your life. You got an area of your life that's not working. Put Him first in it. Put Him first in it and see what God will do. All I know is we need Him. I and we, all of us, we're totally dependent upon Him. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. Our greatest need is not stuff, it's not things, it's not power, it's not position, it's not title. It really isn't. It isn't the neighborhood we live in, it's not the car we drive, it's not the clothes we wear. The greatest need that we have is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He'll clothe you with everything else you need. Everything is found in Him. In Him we live and move and breathe and have our being. I guess my question for you to be is, where is He in your life? Is He first place in your life? And if He's, you say, well, He's on my list, but just life is happening. He's just really not at the top of my list right now. Can I give you a newsflash? If He's not on the top of the list, He's not on the list. Because He requires being first, and only then does it work. In fact, that's really what real salvation is about. It's about putting Him on the top of the list to reflect that He's the Lord of your life. So what I'd love to do, if you're here and you know that you need to do that today, you need to make sure that He's first place in your life, in every area of your life. You want to be blessed so that you can be a blessing, so your life can make a difference. I want to lead you in a prayer of putting Him first in your life. If you're watching online or you're here in the house, I just want to simply pray a prayer with you, and this is the way we do it here. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. I'm simply, right where you're sitting, going to lead you in a prayer. And all you've got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. So in this moment, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. When you pray that prayer, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, would you just slip up a hand and let me know, just say, count me in, Pastor. When you pray, would you count me in that prayer? Amen. God bless you. Good job. Good job. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Let's do this. Let me lead you. And if you're here in this house, for everybody here in this house, here's what I'd like you to do, to pray along with us for support for those that need to pray this prayer. Just pray it out loud. And if you need to pray this, just all you do is mean it. Come on, just pray something like this. Say, God, today I give you my life. Thank you, God, for giving the life of your Son for me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, paying a debt for me that I could not pay. Forgive me for going my way. Today I follow you. I believe on you, so I put my whole life on you, God. I lay my life down. I'm asking you to come inside. Make me brand new on the inside. Change me. Be first. By faith, I receive you now. With all my heart, I will follow you as you help me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed it. I pray blessings over them, God. I pray, God, that you would help them day by day to follow you fully, to trust you day by day, step by step. That the beginning of their day will be to talk to you. The first conversations with you, the first of their days with you, the first of their week is with you. You're first in every area of their life. And God, I know that you will order their steps in the paths of peace. It's not going to always be perfect, but your presence gives us peace in the midst of it all. I thank you for that today, God. And Lord, I just want to pray for this whole church. God, I pray, Lord, I pray your blessings be upon every family, every individual. God, bless us so that we can be a blessing to those around us. Lord, bless this church. God, give us increase so that we can impact this world for the kingdom of God and we see lives change. Oh God, help us today that we, oh Lord, would impact not only this earth, but we'll impact heaven and we'll populate heaven, Lord, through what you've called us to do. God, we give you the praise. We give you the credit. Everything accomplished in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.